We're going to talk about the whole month of December is it's all about Jesus. Everything this month is about Jesus. So as I sat down, you know, I do this every year because I think if we're going to talk about Christmas, we're going to talk about Christ, and we need to understand who Jesus is. Amen. And I think one of the biggest problems or the biggest reasons that people don't follow Christ like they should, or it's because they don't know about Jesus like they need to know about Jesus. There's just some information missing, maybe because you don't read your Bible. You say you love Jesus, but you don't read your Bible. You say you love Jesus, but you don't spend time in prayer. You say you love Jesus, but the only time you get with Jesus is on Sunday morning. And if that's you, don't raise your hand. I'll just pray that you get better at knowing Jesus. Amen. And so, which means you read your Bible through the week and you get more. The amazing thing is, if you guys ate physically food like you eat spiritually food, most of you would die in a month. And so some didn't appreciate that. But my goal this month is to teach you more about Jesus. And so what I decided to do this month, and this way you're going to know what's coming. Amen. You guys like to know what we're talking about each week? Yeah, so no surprises. Of course, you know, things do change when I get up here. Who knows what I'll say, but praise God. Him be all the glory. So here's what we're going to do. The whole month, I'm going to preach through all four Gospels. That's a challenge, isn't it? Yeah, okay, so I'm not really going to do that. But what I'm going to do is we're going to look at all four Gospels and what they talk about Jesus, but each author of the Gospel talks about Jesus in a different way. They look at him in a different light. And so that's what I mean by we're going to cover the four Gospels. The book of Matthew, which is what we're going to cover today, talks about Jesus as the King. And so as you look at the book of Matthew, it talks about Jesus as the King. And so all throughout the book of Matthew, the whole point of the book of Matthew is Jesus the King, Jesus the King, Jesus the King, Jesus the King. And if you read the book of Matthew with the thought process of Jesus the King, the book of Matthew is going to make a whole lot more sense to you. Okay? Then if we go to the book of Mark, the book of Mark is Jesus the servant. And so the theme of the entire book of Mark is Jesus the servant. And as you read that if you think about Jesus the servant as you're reading the book of Mark, then you're going to understand the book of Mark so much more clearer, because it's all about Jesus being a servant. Amen. The book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? You guys are with me. The book of Luke, Luke is a doctor. He's actually a Gentile. He's not a Jewish writer. He's a Gentile, and he's a doctor. And so everything about the book of Luke is Jesus the man. Right? Because he looks at him from a human perspective, because he's a doctor. And so we're going to look at Jesus the man, because this is all about Jesus, and I want you to learn more and more about Jesus, because the more you learn about Jesus, the more understanding you have, the more you're going to love him. Amen? You know, the closer you get to your spouse, the closer you get to your children, the closer you get to your friends, and you build those relationships, because the more you know about them, the closer you come to them, and the more you love them. And that's my whole goal with this month of covering Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And then we get to the book of John, and the book of John is all about Jesus the Savior. And so what's really going to be cool is by the time we hit the book of John, you're going to have all this understanding of Jesus, and then we get to the book of John, and it's about Jesus the Savior, and we're right there at Christmas. So if everything works out well, this will be good. If it doesn't work out well, I'll find somebody to blame. And so, and that way, it'll still be good for me anyway. So as we go through this, that's what you guys are going to learn this whole month. And hopefully when we're done, you will have such an amazing understanding of Jesus compared to when we started, amen, that you'll be excited to learn more. And so today we're looking at Jesus. I titled this, Jesus is King. Now, as we go through this, we're gonna be all over. So what I'm going to tell you to do And this is really, if you're a first-time visitor, this is a pretty unorthodox way for me to preach and to teach. And so don't think this is normal, because this isn't going to be normal. But I am going to say this: strap your seatbelts on, because we are going to fly through the Bible in the next 3 hours. And so, all right. So if I keep going, I'm stretching it each week, though, aren't I? I got to stop that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus is King, and we're going to look all through the scriptures, literally from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to read about 100 passages today. And you guys go, 100? Somebody go, 100? Yeah, see, now that you understand it, it won't be a problem. So 100 passages. I don't know if it's 100. It's not 100, so it'd be all right. But if you're visiting today for the first time, this is not normal for me. So to read that many passages, but you will learn something if you listen. If you fall asleep, I'm going to ask your neighbor to elbow you to the point where we hear you grunt like that, and then we'll know you're awake. One thing I do want to ask is, if you have your cell phone on, please turn it off. Last week we were breaking up, and see that. And when your cell phones are on and we break up, it affects our live stream and it affects the recording when we put it online. So if you would turn your cell phones off, I would not silent, off. I would greatly appreciate it, and just give the Lord 1 hour of your time without an electronic. Amen. As I read from an electronic. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:15 says this. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed, right? Which, 6:15, right? Yeah, okay. Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so as we look at this passage, as we look at today, I want you to see how Jesus is King. You know, in order to be king means that you are numero uno, amen? If you look at all the kings in the Old Testament, all the kings in the New Testament, the kings, they were, listen, kings were, nobody beat the kings. Amen. Pharaoh was looked at, if you look at Pharaoh, literally they looked at him as a god. And he thought he was like a god, or was a god. And so he was the most powerful man in position, in office. And so when you were a king, you were somebody. You look at King David. King David could do anything he wanted. Saul, I mean, you have all these kings, and they could do whatever they wanted because they were the man. And Jesus says, listen, I am King of kings. In other words, nobody's greater than me. Nobody's better than me. I'm the cat's meow, which is really kind of not a good saying, because cats aren't even good, let alone their meow. But you guys get what we're saying, right? It's supposed to be the creme de creme. And Jesus says, I am the King of kings. And so we're going to cover 1, 2, 3, 4 things about Jesus being the king. And number one, and you might want to take notes. And listen, I'm going to encourage you to write down these passages. So since I've done all your legwork, you can take advantage of it and write it down, and you will know all these passages that pertain to Jesus as King. And so the first thing that we're going to look at, that Jesus was born King. Jesus was born King. From the beginning, God foretold the coming of the Son that would defeat Satan. So in Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Literally, if you go back into the Hebrew language, it would read, he being who? Jesus. Jesus. When I say who, give me God specific, because Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God. Amen. And so when I say he, who is he? Jesus. Jesus shall, and if you go into Hebrew, it literally means crush your head. And then it says, and you shall crush Jesus' heel. There's going to be such an impact here because why? Listen, this right here is God putting Jesus, he is born king, he is born over everyone, he is born to be numero uno, okay? And so what he's saying here to Satan, because this is the fall, this is in the very beginning where Eve decided that she would partake of fruit that she shouldn't have touched, and Adam seeing she didn't die, so he thought, whew, man, I'd like a bite too, and then he wasn't too smart, and he takes a bite, and then here we are. And so what's happening is, this is the establishment, this literally is the beginning of establishing Jesus as being the ruler, as being number one. Right here in Genesis 3:15, and says, he's talking to Satan, and he says, Satan, Jesus is going to crush your head, but he's going to crush your head with such a blow like this that it's going to crush his heel. Both are painful, but one is deadly. Amen? And so the pain that's going to come from this is as Jesus comes on the scene as king, as Jesus comes on the scene as being the number one, there's going to be a lot of pain in the process of this. And that's the crushing of Jesus' heel. Listen, the people, us, right? God, Satan's going to draw some of us away. And even children of God, those who said, I believe Jesus is my Savior, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, God, Satan is going to draw you away. And you're going to be the prodigal child, if you will. That's the crushing of the heel. Jesus going on the cross as the King of the Jews and dying and shedding his blood for you and I. That is the crushing of the heel. But Satan being conquered in the very end, which we read in Revelation, and he is thrown in the lake of fire, and he is never to bother anybody again. He is defeated permanently forever. That is the crushing of the head. And so we see the beginning of Jesus, that he is born king, and it starts right here in Genesis 3:15. Amen? So as we start unfolding this now, we see when Jacob blessed his sons, he prophesied of a great ruler from Judah in Genesis 49:8-12. It says, Judah, you are whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion who shall rouse him, right? Who's going to rouse the lion? Who's going to bother the lion? We're talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the Lion of Judah, and nobody's going to rouse him, amen? And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. In other words, he's the king. He is coming. Remember, this is prophecy. He's coming. The scepter shall not depart from him. He will be king forever. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkeys to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. He's saying, listen, Jesus Christ is coming, and nobody's going to take this away from him. He is the Lion of Judah. Who's going to rouse him? Who's going to conquer him? He is the king. And so we see Jesus as the king coming. And then in Matthew, wise men came from the east to worship him that was born king of the Jews. Matthew 2:1-3. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And remember, we're talking about Jesus was born king. And so here we see, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why? Because Jesus is the King of Kings. And Herod now feels threatened. His kingship feels threatened. Why? Because, man, God, listen, I'm going to tell you what, he got nervous. When Jesus comes around, if you don't know him as Savior, you're going to get nervous because you're going to realize that he is the King of Kings. And so he was born king. Daniel prophesied about this in Daniel 2:4. And listen, I'm giving you all this information, which I typically would preach a normal sermon, but today it's information, information, information. And so I'm going to overload you with information today so that you can walk out of here going, you know, and then talk about it when you get home. Amen. So we are, jump down to Daniel 2:4. In Daniel 2, that's 44. So I messed that one up. Let me read. Oh, it's 44. I'm sorry. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Listen, guys, as we are covering these verses, and there's going to be a lot of them. Remember I said strap in because we're going for a ride today. And I don't mean to talk really fast, but I mean to get through this sermon. And I want you guys to get this information because as we're covering this, I want you to see who Jesus Christ is. Listen, this is the King of Kings. If he's the King of Kings, then we're going to have to look at him as the King of Kings. We're going to serve him as the King. And then if we're going to do that, we got to understand that he's the King. Amen? And so look at this. Because look, this, all right, so maybe I'm the only one that gets excited when I read these passages. But I'm going to tell you, as I read these passages, I study it out, man, I get really excited because I'm looking at Jesus, my Savior, and I am being reminded that he is established and nobody can conquer him. This is our Lord. This is our King of Kings. Nobody will dethrone him. Nobody's going to move him. He was born to be king, and it is established. Look, it says, God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. How many other kingdoms have been destroyed? How many other kings have lost their position? Not with Jesus Christ. And who's Jesus? Well, he's our Savior. He's the Savior of the world. Guys, you got to grab this. As Christmas is coming, you got to grab who Jesus Christ really is. And if you don't, man, you're just going to kind of struggle because you're not going to have the right relationship. So he says, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. What promises we have. We don't put our faith, we don't put ourselves in with somebody who can lose control. Man, we have given our souls to Jesus Christ, our lives to Jesus Christ, and he takes our souls and holds them forever securely. You guys getting this? Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, man, this is good stuff. In Mark 1:15, it says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God, what is so important about the kingdom of God? It's never going to be destroyed. It's never going to be removed. Guys, we got to grab this, you know, because our faith, as we walk through life, as we think about things in life, sometimes because we see so many things come and go, amen? It's like, all of a sudden this rises up and it only lasts for a little while and it falls away. And then this rises up, it lasts for a little while and it falls away. And if we're not careful, we're going to think that this is the way Christ is and that his kingdom is. And I'm going to tell you that's not the way it is. Listen, on earth, I don't know if you watch the news, if you're paying attention, but man, we are that close. They're predicting by 2017, every American will have a chip implanted somewhere by 2017. Well, listen, that's of the kingdom of the world, not the kingdom of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think, and I'm not predicting anything, so don't walk out of here saying, Pastor John said Jesus is coming back next month. That's not what I said. What I do believe, though, is that Christ's going to return before every American has to have a human chip. Because we're not taking the mark. I'm not taking the mark. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, isn't it? But man, our kingdom, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom will last forever and ever and ever. But in order for you to be a part of it, you have to repent and believe in the gospel. And let me say this. That word repent doesn't just mean I'm sorry. It literally means, Lord, forgive me. I have done wrong. And you turn from the wrong that you continue to do and you go in the other direction and do right. Repent. Most Christians have this mentality that, and it's funny because when we went out to the restaurant and our waiter was a Christian, but he believed that he had the freedom to drink and have sex out of marriage and have multiple partners and have all, I mean, just do whatever. And if you tell him, no, you can't do that. And he goes, oh, that's not my Jesus. No, but it's the Jesus of the Bible. That repent, man, we got to repent. Amen. All right, Isaiah and Jeremiah also prophesied of this event in Isaiah 9:6-7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is our Jesus. This is our King. This is the King of Kings. Amen. I'm going to tell you guys, this is some good stuff. Isaiah 32:1. Isaiah 32:1 says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness and princes will rule with justice. Who's going to be the prince? No, who's the king? Jesus. Who's the princes? Us. Think about that for a second, right? Think of that. We're going to be right there with him, ruling and reigning with justice. We're a part of this. When our King of Kings comes in and he takes full control of everything, because this is prophecy. Remember, Isaiah is a whole book of prophecy. So when you read the book of Isaiah, you got to be thinking in your head, prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. If you're thinking any other way than prophecy, you're going to misread the book of Isaiah. And so he says, look, man, we are going to be ruling and reigning with him. Man, that's some good stuff. Jeremiah 23:5 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. What's the branch? Jesus, a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Jesus Christ is coming because he was born king. And these are just a few passages that show us that he was born king. This is what he was born to come and do, the things that we have just read. And then when he's doing them, we get to be a part of that. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited because I read the news. I try not to watch the news. I really try to be choosy of what I read because it gets so depressing sometimes and overwhelming. Amen. I think that's the goal of the media, is to depress you from wanting to hear it, so you push it aside, and then you just become dumb. And then all of a sudden, you're shocked by what comes. Amen. And so, but you still got to hang in there. And the greatest part is, man, when my King Jesus comes, he's going to smote them all. And I'm going to step back and go, don't forget him. And don't forget him. And remember that one over there. He was a lousy president. Get him. Because you never know. And we might have one. And so the next point is, Jesus. I got to keep going here. All right. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to have fun today, guys. You got to hang in there and ride this train with me. I told you to strap in. This is a little unorthodox for me, but you got to get this stuff. So we see that Jesus was born king. Now we see Jesus was made king. Jesus ascended into heaven, and then he was rewarded David's throne. Look here at Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Look, he says, you know what? I'm in the form of God, but it's not robbery for me to consider myself equal with God. Why? Because he says, I am God. I'm God. And then he says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And so he was brought down and he's made king. And so then we see here in the disciples, they saw him leave, Acts 1:9-11. If you read this in Acts 1:9-11, isn't that what I have here? It's not up there. All right. Now you guys got to be on that clicker because we're rolling, because if we don't get out of here on time, people are going to be all mad and stuff. All right. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, this is really important, because he says, look, this same Jesus, nothing's going to change. This Jesus who told you who he was, who said he was the king, who said he was the savior, who said he was born to do all that he was going to do, who said he was going to rule and reign, who said he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, this same Jesus, there is no swap. We're not going to heaven and bringing somebody else down. This same Jesus. Listen, guys, that is so important to grab hold of that. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This same Jesus. Revelation 5:1-10. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, But this is John. He says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written. Yes, I am, because this is such a beautiful passage. Written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals? I'm going to tell you, man, who is worthy to do this? Only Jesus. He's the King. He is worthy to open the seals. Nobody else. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. By the way, this is John, who wrote the book of Revelation, not Revelations. There's no S, it's just the book of Revelation. So if you hear anybody say it wrong, hit them for me. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it next. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold. You guys remember when I've told you about the word behold in the past? It's like, behold, let me get your attention. You got to hear me. You got to listen. Wake up. Look, I've got something to tell you. That behold is captivating. You can't. There's so many words in the Bible that you just can't let go by. Amen. And this word here, behold, why? Because he's our King. Behold, I want you to see the Lion. Behold, I want you to see the one who is able and who is worthy and can do this that needs to be done. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Look at the description. You cannot miss that this is Jesus Christ. You can't even mistake in it that it's Jesus Christ, the King, our King. The Root of David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. We're not going to go into all that. And God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. You notice this is a worship here. Why? Because he's King. Don't miss who we're talking about here. Listen, do you think any of this would happen to us? Do you think any of this is going to fall down and worship us? No, they worship the King. Guys, this is good stuff. And if you don't like it, I do. All right. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Wow. Look what's happening here. We're still involved. Are you seeing what's going on? Our King is a King that loves us. Our King is a King that wants us. Our King is a King that keeps us. Our King is a King that keeps us involved. Our King is a King that takes care of us. Listen, when we're talking about Jesus Christ, the King, man, he loves his people. I know we're not used to rulers loving their people. We're not used to people in high authority in the government taking care of their people. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is different. And man, look what's in this. It is the prayers of the saints. Us, our prayers. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You are worthy because you purchased us. You are worthy because you bought us. You are worthy because you brought redemption. You are worthy because only you could have done all the things you have done and saved the people you saved. Are you starting to see King Jesus? Oh, my goodness. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign. I'm going to tell you, man, God didn't leave us out. Are you seeing this? You're going to reign. We will reign with King Jesus. Oh, man. All right. I'm about to go back to the gospel, and you guys are sitting there just looking at me. Okay, here we go. Consider Hebrews' record of the event to the Christian saints among the Jews, Hebrews 1:3. And by the way, we're still talking about Jesus was made King, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, King Jesus, by himself. Right? Listen, we're talking about a King that has the power to do anything and everything. That by himself. As soon as I find it. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Sat down at the right hand, he was made king. And if you notice, he purged our sins. Are you starting to see a theme with our king? He's not leaving us out. Listen, as we go into Christmas, as we see it coming, as we start unfolding who Jesus is for the next 4 weeks, I want you to see, not only do we see all about Jesus, but he never leaves us out. He never puts us aside. He brings us along and he keeps us and he sustains us and he holds us and he puts us into power to rule and reign with him. That's our king. Man. Whoo! That, I'm just, okay. I'm just, all right, we got to go. We got to roll on. Man, I'm telling you, if you don't see this, you know what? If this isn't blessing your soul right now, your blesser's broke. That's all I'm saying. And so as we look here in Hebrews 8 and 1, 8 through 9, it says, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. So therefore, the Father, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. We see here, and then it was looking Hebrews 2, 6 through 10, Jesus is made king. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? Again, who are we talking about here? Man, us, right? So we see we are involved again with our king and his kingdom. Guys, grab hold of this. King Jesus loves us. King Jesus wants us. King Jesus takes care of us. King Jesus brings us along with him. King Jesus protects us. I'm telling you, King Jesus is about us. Is that not amazing? Here he has all this power, all this authority, everything, and yet, in the process of him being made king, we're brought along with him. Never forgotten, never forsaken, never left behind. Man, we're talking King Jesus loves his people. You made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Everything. What is everything? Everything is everything. All is all. And then he took his seat at the right hand of God on the eternal throne. This right here, we're going to buzz through. Mark 16:19. Come on, guys. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Sat down at the right hand of God. Luke 22:69. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. You see where he's at? You see his position? Give me the next one. Acts 2:25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. All of a sudden, again, he's at the right hand of God, and then he's at our right hand. He is there for us. Grab this, guys. Man, we have a king that loves us. Acts 2:33-34. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. 7:55-56. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I want you to see he was made king and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Are you guys seeing it again? Christ died for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for us. This isn't a king serving his own pleasure. This is a king loving us. This is a king taking care of us. This is a king giving to us. And man, I tell you, sometimes I think we forget just how good God is. Amen? And so we have in Ephesians 1:20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Look at this, guys. There's no mistaking where Jesus is. In the next one, Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? He's saying, you know what? There's nobody greater than Jesus. I'm going to pound this in and pound this in and pound this in. Hebrews 8:1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on heavens. Look here in 10:12. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Look where Jesus is. I'm telling you, he's the King of Kings. 12:2, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Now, here's the thing. We just thought, he's at the right hand, he's at the right hand, he's at the right hand, he's at the right hand. And we were in Hebrews, and now we come back, and he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, it's because of him that we are saved, and it's because of him that we're going to stay saved, and we can't lose it. We have King Jesus, and nobody can conquer King Jesus. For who the joy that was set before him, because it was an honor and it was a joy for him to give his life for you and me. Are we worthy of that? No, but yet, he did it. He did it for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, King Jesus. 1 Peter 3:22. Who has gone into the heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made, what? Subject to him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, King Jesus is Lord. Guys, are you starting to see King Jesus a little better? Are you starting to see that not only is he a king of position, but he's a king of power? He's a king over us, and then he gives us position and power? Is that not amazing to you? I mean, are you not appreciative? I mean, I guess because I had more time to study this, and maybe this is information overload. Maybe you guys are just going like this because you feel like I'm just machine gunning you. But man, I just want you to see Jesus. He had all authority and enemies were put under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. King Jesus. God ordained Jesus to be king. You guys are going to have to jump down, miss Ephesians, 1 Peter, jump down to Hebrews. God ordained Jesus to be a king and priest like Melchizedek, Hebrews 5, 5 through 10. I'm not going to read that. Go to Hebrews 6:20 because I got to start saving time. Hebrews 6:20. We got 6:20? Did I not put it up? There we go. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The forerunner entered for us. Do you guys see we're not left out anywhere, man? Our king, and you go, Pastor, you're running this into the dirt, and I am going to keep running it into the dirt for the rest of this service. Having become high priest forever, listen, our Jesus, our king, our high priest. And then Jesus is the highest king. And I'll skip some passages here. But if we look at Revelation 1, 5 through 9. Revelation 1, 5 through 5 and 9, I'm sorry. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Whew. Guys, you got to grab that. King Jesus never leaves us, never forsakes us, never forgets us, and he takes care of us. In 1:9, John says, I'm a witness to this. I am a witness. I can testify. I can verify this is truth. Both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm a witness to this, man. I can tell you, I can verify it. It is true. King Jesus is who he says he is and does what he says he does and is more than able. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, Daniel 2:47. Daniel 2:47 says, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Your king, I'm going to tell you, if we present Jesus Christ right, if we live like we honor our king, if our life represents Jesus Christ, people are going to look at you and they're going to say that truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. Man, you think of how Daniel represented his king. I think we need to represent our king in the same manner. And people will see who he is, that he is the highest king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Look here at 1 Timothy 6:15, which we read, and we're going to read it again, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jehovah is a great king over the earth. Look here at Psalm 47:2. Psalm 47:2, for the Lord most high is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. The king derives their power from him, the earthly kings, and then they bow before him. Look at Psalm 72:11. In Psalm 72:11, it's about four down, guys. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. This is our king, and he is the highest. And then what's really interesting is in God raised up Pharaoh as the world's greatest king, but then it's almost like he set him up to show, no, I'm greater. Look here in Romans 9:17. In Romans 9:17, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. The King of kings, he is the highest of kings. And then I'm going to bring it down to the last 4 points that we benefit from Jesus the King. I don't know if you got it as I was talking, as I was reading, as I was sharing that, you know, Jesus never forgets us. He takes us. He brings us along. He takes care of us. He provides for us, man. He protects us. He allows us to rule and reign with him. And so now I'm going to share that we benefit from Jesus as King. We obtain comfort to help in our time of need by his great authority and power. Look here in Hebrews 4:12-16. This is specific for us, guys. So if you didn't like anything else, listen to this because you benefit. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. By the way, we are the creature. Okay? You and I. I know you don't like being called a creature, but I didn't call you an animal. I called you a creature. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now let's just stop here for a second. Our King Jesus says, listen, because I have been through, because I have experienced, because I understand, because I'm all powerful, because I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords, because I can protect you, because I can answer prayers, because I'm intercessory to your prayers, because I can do all these things, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come boldly. All right? Did you get that? Hey, look, he says, therefore, because I'm all of this, I want you to come boldly to the throne. Once again, I am the king. How many of you think you're going to get invited to the White House? Okay, it's not much of an honor today, but if it were to happen, who thinks it would happen? It's not going to happen, but Jesus says, come to the throne. Come to the great throne. The throne of grace, the throne that I'm going to extend to you to give you what you don't deserve. Come to the throne of grace. And don't just come to the throne of grace. He says, I want you to step up boldly. I'm here. Boldly. Don't be all skittish and whimperish and, oh, I don't deserve it. Oh, I'm shy. Oh, no, you better run up there like he's got $1 million waiting for you. Boldly. This is for us. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You struggling? King Jesus has the answer. You're struggling, you're hurting, King Jesus can heal, can take care of. And not only can he, but here's the coolest part. He wants to. He wants to. Man, guys, if you're struggling or as I call sucking wind, you know, man, King Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. Come boldly to the throne. And then in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus is qualified to help us. He's qualified. You can't go to him and say, oh, Jesus, I know you're God and you don't understand. And Jesus is going to say, whoa, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Now, look, you know what? I'm able because I do understand. As a matter of fact, if you go into Hebrews and you read Hebrews, we have a great high priest who went through all he went through. And we say, why did he go through that? The Hebrews says so that he could understand and sympathize and have compassion toward us. Think about that. So when you're struggling and you're suffering and you think Jesus doesn't understand, he's been through a whole lot more than you. He understands. And he did all of that so that he can take care of us. We obtain courage in danger because he protects us. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. It says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me. Look, he said, everybody else booked. Right? Have you ever had that? Have you ever been in a situation and you're like, okay, that's all right. I got my friends here. I got my buds here. And you're like, all right, right, guys? Guys, right? Have you ever done that? And Paul says, hey, that's what's happened to me, but the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. I'm going to tell you, Jesus, the King, our King, will stand with you. He says, but the Lord stood with me, and he didn't just stand there. What else did he do? What did he do? Strengthen me. He says, look, he stood with me and he strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear and also delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, I will be with you and I will strengthen you because I want more people to come to me so more people will be saved. God says, I'm with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I will not abandon you. Guys, if you're lonely, if you're struggling, people say, well, God can't fill that void. No, King Jesus can fill that void. Here's the problem. You don't know him well enough to bring him in and let him have that void. See, you think you have the answers. You think that, oh, this is going to take care of my need. And it might take care of the moment, but it's not going to take care of your need. It might satisfy that emotion for a moment, but it's gone. But King Jesus says, uh-uh. I'm here, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to give you the victory. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to keep looking for other things to satisfy the need, or are we going to call on King Jesus? See, the problem, people go, oh, Jesus, he can't satisfy this, or he can't satisfy that. No, it's just because you don't know him well enough to allow him to satisfy that. You don't trust him enough. And you say, well, that's not fair. No, but it's true. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yeah. King Jesus. All authority. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, man, I'm telling you, when the king said, let him go, they let him go. When the king said, bind them, they bound them. When the king said, hey, you know what? We're going to extend grace. They extended grace. When the king made a decree, the decree was set. And I'm going to tell you, our King Jesus sets a decree that he's going to help us. And we don't need to fear because nobody can do anything to us but what God allows. You ever read Job chapter 1 and 2? Go and read Job chapter 1 and 2. Satan comes before God and says, oh, Job will curse you if you take away everything he's got, make him poor, bring him down to nothing. And God said, all right, go ahead and do it, but don't touch him. And guess what? Satan didn't touch him. Why? Because Satan's got to bow down. Satan might be the king of the earth, the ruler of the earth, but Jesus is king of everything. And Satan didn't touch him. Then he comes back and he says, oh, you've touched him physically. You take away his health. He'll curse you. Because many people would, right? I don't understand why Jesus is doing this to me. I don't know why I'm sick. Hey, you know what? Stop accusing Jesus of being unfair and ask Jesus, what am I supposed to gain out of this? What do you want me to have? What do you want me to do? I'm your servant to the end. What if we had that attitude? Amen. And Satan, God told Satan, oh, okay, you know what? You can do anything you want to him. Wow. But don't kill him. Listen, I'm telling you, man, they got to bow down. They have to listen to Jesus. And it says, what can man do to me? I'm telling you, guys, we have troublesome times coming, but nobody can touch us as long as King Jesus reigns. And we already know King Jesus is going to reign through eternity. Amen? Oh, man, I'm telling you, woo! All right, let me get this. We obtain consolation in perplexity that he will gain the victory for us. Look here in Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Did you get that? Jesus says, "Whoop, nope. Up, go this way. Yeah, that's right. No, go back over here. That's fine." That's what he does, right? And I know sometimes we'd love for him to put his hand there and leave it there so we're puppets, right? And we don't do all the silly things that we do. And how many are with me on that? Yeah, for Jesus. Look, just guide me and I'll be a robot. I don't care. Right? Well, he doesn't do that. But he has the power to do that. Look here in 1 Corinthians 15:55-58. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the what? We got the victory, guys. Listen, as Christmas is coming in, and you're going to understand who King Jesus is now, he says, you have the victory through Jesus Christ. The king says, I've given you the victory. Take advantage of it. Not in an ungodly way. 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. That word knowing means that you are sure that you're sure. You get what I'm saying? It's not just knowing, oh yeah, I got that information. No. You are confident. That's that word knowing. You are confident that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then the last point, and I'm finishing up. Wow, did we do good? Somebody say amen. Whew, okay, I'm going to take a breath now that I'm on the last point. Anybody think that was a fast ride? I like the wee. Wee! Let's do it again, Daddy. All right. D. We obtain conviction to worship him more fully by considering his greatness over the kings of the earth. And as we go through this, guys, I'm just going to say next, and you just keep up with me, okay? 1 Corinthians 15:58, we've already read. Go to Ezra 9:9. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage. Hold up for 1 second. Did you guys just hear that? Did you hear that? We were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage. Guys, if you're struggling, and listen, this is a time of the year that seems to be the hardest on everybody, amen? Don't let it be. God didn't forsake you. Our king never left his throne. Even if you feel like you're in bondage and you're struggling and life is unfair and there are things that are just knocking you around, our king didn't leave his throne. But he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. He says, listen, you know what? I didn't forsake you in your bondage. As a matter of fact, I delivered you and then gave you everything you needed. Key word, needed. Some of you want a lot of stuff, and God goes, it's not going to be good because that's going to take you away from me. But I'll give you what you need. Don't get mad at God when you don't get what you want, but you better praise him when you get what you need. Amen. Next. Nehemiah 9:24, so the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wish. And you go, what's that got to do with us? The benefit is that God can conquer, do, give, subdue, handle anything in our lives. Even the things that look impossible, God can deliver to us. Are you trusting him? Are you, listen, he can heal you. He can take care of your financial woes. Now, with that being said, if he's going to heal you, you can't keep hurting yourself. You know what I'm saying? If he's going to take care of your financial woes and he blesses you, you can't be silly with your money and go right back into the same hole that he just dug you out of. And so you have to understand, God says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to deliver you. I can give you anything. I can deliver you from anything, but you got to be smart with it when I give it to you. Benefit. Then let's look at Job 12:18. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds their waist with a belt. Again, we see he controls everything. Next. Job 36:7. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings, for he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. Who are they? Who are the righteous? Christians, his children. I'm going to tell you, man, guys, you got to get this next. Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Do you want understanding? You want wisdom? You seek the king, and he'll do it. He'll give it to you. He'll give us what we need. Next. Daniel 2:47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. God will open our eyes. He'll give us things that nobody else has. Next. Psalm 72:11. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. If you're in bondage, and honestly, I feel like we're in bondage with our government, and God says, listen, you know what? They're going to fall too. Don't worry about it. I have it. Next. Psalm 76:12. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Next. Psalm 89:27. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Next. These are all our benefits, guys. I don't know about you, but it's a true benefit to have Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 144:10. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Again, he's delivering us. And he'll deliver. All you got to do. You know what David did? He sought God's heart. God said David was a man after my own heart. What made him a man after God's own heart? He repented. He always sought God's face, and he always asked for forgiveness. Not saying I'm sorry, he asked for forgiveness. Next. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Our Lord. Did you get that? O Lord, our Lord. Guys, grab hold of what we're talking about. Next. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Next. Micah 1:14. Therefore you shall give presents to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achab shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. You're going to give presents. Does God not say, listen, if you give, it'll be given to you, and that he'll have men give unto your bosom? God's going to take care of us. We got to get who the king is here. All right, we're almost done, guys. Next, Hebrews 12:2, and this is our last verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. And you've seen this verse three times, and I want you to see it. And we're finishing with this verse because we're going to stop and we're going to look at this. And we're just going to take 2 minutes to do it, and then we're finished. Looking unto Jesus, and then who is Jesus? The author and finisher, the beginning and ending of us. Are you getting that? Who for the joy? How many would consider it joy to be persecuted, to be beaten, to hang on a cross? How many would look at that as joy? I can't see that being joy. And that wasn't the joy part. The joy part was getting us when he was done. Wow. Are we that good? No. He's that good. Guys, look. This is so powerful. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy set before him. That's us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. King Jesus. You guys got a better idea who he is now? I know we flew through that. And there was so much information. And I hope you took some notes and got some of the passages. King Jesus says, wherever I go, I'm going to take you with me. And I'll take care of you, and I'll protect you, I'll secure you, I'll give you grace, I'll give you mercy. I'll supply all your needs. I'll deliver your enemies. King Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he's not your king, therefore you have none of those benefits. And the only reason that you're enjoying the benefits of any protection or food or you know, it says it rains on the just and the unjust alike, because that's just, it's just what happens. You get some joy because God blesses and takes care of the Christian. And so you're just a recipient of what gets poured out. But if you don't know him as your Savior, then you're not going to heaven when you die. It's very simple. I'm going to take just a moment to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to stay long in that. I'm not going to. I'm just going to give you a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus, the Bible says that you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he for your sins, that he conquered death and hell, and he rose again on the third day, and he is now king on the throne. You got to believe those three things. If you do believe those three things, then it's by faith that you're saved. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. The prayer is simply a roadmap, guys, that helps you to understand and gives you a timestamp. But is your belief in Jesus Christ, and it is you dying to yourself saying, today I'm going to give myself to the Lord. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, and I surrender my desires to live unto the Lord's desires. That's salvation. And so if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Again, remembering the prayer is a roadmap. It's your faith and the fact that you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is at the right hand of the Father. You pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have messed up. I have made poor decisions. I have went against you. But today, right now, Lord, I surrender my life. I understand that surrendering my life means I don't live unto myself. I understand that surrendering my life can be a difficult thing because I have to stop being selfish and feeding the lust of the flesh. And so today, right now, Jesus, I believe in you. I ask you to be my Savior. I surrender my life to you to do with what you will.